next on Girlfriend.
Fighting is destructive without construction. Fighting neither solves the alcohol problem, the marriage problem. It actually perpetuates more relationship.
Welcome to Girlfriend. It's Relationship Radio Rebooted. I'm Jeff Newman for BDGX.com. And with us, as always, Cynthia Chauvin. She is a relationship expert and a good one. She's also a practitioner of hypnosis and a full-time psychic. And we're going to delve into that a little bit more than we normally do on this week's show. With her, of course, her husband, John Miles, also a practitioner of hypnosis. And together they've written a book, and it's actually wonderful. I know of women who have benefited from this, and it's called 10 Ways to Get and Keep Your Man. It's more of a lifestyle type of guide as opposed to a self-help guide. One of the things that they deal with in the book and one of the chapters is something that all of us involved in relationships have dealt with. Oh, first of all, welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you again.
Sound good today.
Thank you. Arguing versus fighting. That is the chapter that we're going to dig into. And before we get into the difference between them, I've heard arguing in a relationship is healthy.
That's correct, because it's discovery. Whereas fighting is debilitating to both parties because it's about winning and it's not about discovering.
Well, let's delineate. What's the difference between arguing and fighting?
In the book, we say arguing is belief systems revealed, whereas fighting is emotional problems revealed.
Okay.
Got that one?
Belief systems. Now, what are belief systems?
Arguing could be a belief system of, I believe that it is better to be a Democrat than a Republican. I could believe that it's better to park on the right side of the road than the left. Just differences of opinions,
okay.
Small, large, so forth and so on.
So we agree to disagree. We'll have this argument for the rest of our lives.
That's right. Exactly. But it's done respectfully. And sometimes it can actually broaden the horizon for both people as they get to listen to the other person's opinion, their belief systems in a certain area. You can actually widen your own opinion. So I always say, on a good night, you say your story, I say my story, and we find a bigger story.
So that argument could, in essence, be just an extension of a conversation.
Usually it has a little more passion to it than just a conversation.
I am parking here, regardless of what you believe.
But it's not trying to make anybody wrong. So it's usually things that people are impassioned about versus just a normal conversation, a normal discovery, whereas fighting is quite different.
Well, an argument will turn into a fight when one or the other parties is not lenient, does not want to compromise, does not want to be open to the other person's point of view, perhaps.
Well, when you are not in the flow of discovery, and when one person is trying to prove a point and by belittling, berating, or diminishing the other person's opinion, then you're headed for a fight. It has moved from argument, which can be a discovery zone, to fighting, which is a destructive zone.
I mentioned two things. I said being lenient and I said compromising. Are those two of the ways to alleviate a fight, number one? And number two, have you seen in your professional experience arguments leading to the demise of a relationship?
Not arguments, fighting. Fighting will lead to the demise of a relationship because, and there's never any compromise in fighting because it's all about power over. It's all about how do I control an outcome? How do I control you with my opinions? How do I control the environment with my opinions? How do I stay in control? So fighting is more of a control mechanism.
But excuse me, you just described half of the relationships, marriages, in this country.
That's very true, but it's also very destructive.
It's destructive, but they exist. There are people who are involved in powerless situations because of their partner having all the power, whether that be financial or physical or emotional or all of the above. I mean, we read it in the books. We see it in the movies.
Right. Well, I kind of disagree with that because unless I give you my support, unless I give you my power, you don't have it. So in essence, if I have no power, it's because I had the power and I gave the power, so I still have power.
Or never knew that you had the power in the first place. There are women who are bred to do that. In certain cultures, in this country.
That's very true. That's very true. What's in the subconscious is definitely a big part of it, but it's not something that has to stay there. And by coming consciously aware that you're actually making a choice to give your power away to somebody else, then you gain your power back.
Well, you have to get to that point, though. Really? I'm not supposed to be
home? I think you have to be agitated enough to find out. Well, because nobody told me. And eventually it came to sitting there one day going, well, you know, why do I think somebody has more power than me in this situation? How are they getting this power? It's self-discovery. Self-talk with myself led me to the outcome. It wasn't something I read. It wasn't a psychologist that I went to. I think people can discover it on their own. I think people do discover it on their own eventually. Or they seek somebody out to help them find that path, because that too is empowering them. When they seek someone to give them the information, it's still them seeking.
It's also cultural, and specifically to the United States. I mean, there are other cultures around the world who still have extreme subservient situations for women. But even if you,
I'm from the South.
Okay, no, but even if you look at this country, when did women start voting? You know,
it's
all relatively new, equality and women's lib and all of that. As much as, you know, some of our younger listeners might think that that's ancient history, it's not.
I don't think women's equality was marked by the right to vote or any other equal pay. I don't think that creates an equality. I think an internal process creates one's own equality, and then we express equality.
I'm just talking overall, though, for society. Yes, there have been strong women throughout.
At some point, I mean, you're going to tap into your inner power in life.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. Sometimes it happens at a very young age. Sometimes it happens after you've been in an abusive relationship. At some point, you're going to tap into that inner self. And I'm going to relate this very quickly. I heard on NPR a story about a 9-year-old little girl in Yemen, and they have she was married off to a 30-year-old man. She convinced her husband to let her come and see her parents in the capital city, and then she told her aunt, "I want a divorce." And she said, "How do I do that?" So she got on the minibus.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took a taxi and she went to the court place, and she found the first judge is a 9-year-old, or maybe she was 12 at this point, and she said, "I want a divorce." And she ended up emancipating herself, but she tapped into her inner power at some point. It happens at any point in life.
Okay, unless extreme circumstances. Back to one of my original questions. Being lenient, being understanding, compromise, all of these things. Do you advise the mostly women that you speak to get through their arguments so that they don't become fights that save a relationship? Is that part of the stepping stone to a successful relationship?
Respect and open and consciousness about yourself. This is not a leniency. If I'm being lenient, then I'm being judgmental that mine's superior to yours, and I'm just,
or just the opposite, being open to another. It's the value system. I say I want to turn right, and she says no, make 3 lefts. Okay, tonight I'll make 3 lefts and I will wind up in the same place, but tomorrow maybe
there,
we'll
there
make
is
the right.
Another option, and that is just to not give a shit.
I mean,
to be detached from the outcome. Okay, fine, we'll go this way that time.
That happens after 20 years of marriage.
What do you mean by that? 15, actually.
Yes, it's not worth the argument.
Yeah, but
no,
I
don't even have an emotional intensity about it.
Right, exactly. Right. I think emotional intensity goes away when one feels safe. And the first place you have to feel safe is inside yourself, that you yourself aren't going to compromise yourself to the point where you start becoming resentful of the other individual when it's actually oneself compromising oneself.
For the sake of the person who is attempting to get and keep a man, is respect one of those 10 ways to get and keep a man?
Absolutely. Okay. Self-respect.
Okay.
Self-respect will allow you to respect another human being. Without self-respect, without an ability to say, I can't do this right now, I'm not in a space to be able to do this. You know, to know my boundary, to know my limits, to know where my head is all the time, 24/7, or as much as humanly possible anyway, is how I can respect you. Because what I give to myself, I can give to you. I can give to you the time that I can give to myself. I can give to you the love I already have for myself. But I can't give you what I don't have trying to fill me with something that I think you have, because then I will resent you for that process. And it's when you start resenting somebody because they're not giving you what you need, that's when a deterioration of a relationship really just goes straight forward.
Do you find a lack of self-respect in most single women?
Yes. I don't think women love themselves.
And
I truly, you know, they try, but they put it on the outside. You know, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other. So they externalize, and they're trying to find their self-respect. But they're trying to find their self-respect by, I'm not going to let him do that to me. Well, it's not about him doing this to you. It's about, what are you doing to yourself by letting him in? You attracted him, but everybody tries to get self-respect by the externalization of their behavior instead of the internal process. If he's an a-hole, I brought that a-hole to me. I invited him in. I'm not responsible for his behavior, but I sure as hell am responsible for bringing him into my environment. And they try to get the respect from the a-hole that they bring in, and then they want to dump him because he's not being respectful. It's them that has the problem with self-respect to begin with, but I'm going to respect myself. I'm going to get him out of my life. And then they just get another a-hole.
Is desperation?
I don't think it's necessarily desperation. I think it's a compliance technique that we've learned century through century, just like what you're talking about. The same thing that you guys go through.
Well, the desperation I'm talking about is bringing one a-hole after another, that because they're desperate to latch.
You like my a-hole.
We're desperate to latch onto a relationship.
We're desperate to be accepted. We're desperate to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
We're desperate to share.
All the things that a relationship bring.
No. It won't bring that till you bring it to yourself inside. Then you express it here. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you're looking for a relationship to give it to you, it can take it away. And if it's inside, then you express it and it goes with you wherever you go. So you can have a good relationship with anybody.
Have you found that answer through some of the women you've hypnotized?
Oh, absolutely.
How?
Absolutely.
And this is back to the original opening of the show. I'm interested in how that comes out in hypnosis, how people can lose part of either the veneer or their conscience or the rough exterior, what have you, and open up to you during hypnosis, and how you wind up relaying to them afterwards, mm-hmm. when they wake up, I guess, what their real inner self is saying.
It's kind of sort of like that, but not really. I have a pre-interview with people to talk to them about what it is they're trying to accomplish in their hypnosis session, and what do they feel has been their inconsistency, their thoughts that are preventing them from getting there. And through that conversation and that relaxation in the conversation, because they're sitting in a place that's already filled with hypnosis, so it's pretty easy to go there, so it's a pretty relaxed state. Mm-hmm. And they reveal to themselves. And through that conversation, I show them that primarily women have a problem with their first three chakras, which is safety, value, and authority. So generally speaking, most women that come in that have a problem either don't feel safe, they don't feel valuable, or they don't feel like they have authority in their world. So once I start showing them in the conversation beforehand, well, really, isn't that an issue of safety? Well, really, isn't that an issue of value? Well, really, isn't that an issue of authority? Then that's what we go into in hypnosis, to ground them in a sense of their own safety, mm-hmm. their own value, and their own authority, meaning I know who I am and I know my reality.
Your book can now actually give a lot of this information. And again, we'll get back to arguing and fighting, because
I know that's right. What
we're dealing with.
It's one of the reasons why people do fight instead of argue. It's one of the reasons that we don't stay in relationships. It's one of the reasons why things do destruct. The book has in my mind's eye, a very simple premise. And by not only discussing, but giving metaphor, bringing up questions, showing them certain circumstances, it's easy for them to read the book and find themselves in the chapter after chapter. They can say, oh, yeah, I do that.
Is it a guide?
Definitely a guide.
I'd say it's even more of a roadmap. The book comes from thousands and thousands of readings and sessions that Cynthia has done. So this is a woman's perspective on what women do. It is really a roadmap for women to get into a relationship effectively. When I looked at it, I didn't understand any of it.
Well, you know, because I've read through most of it. I really have. And what I found interesting in reading your book, I can see a single woman, actually I can see a married woman, having this book next to the bed thinking, I don't understand this, or let me just read a couple of pages here. It'll give me something to think about, maybe something to work on tomorrow, because these are things that they have to work on themselves.
That's right.
Really is the correct
word for
it.
You're not going to find this information in any other place. This is truly unique information. But I think women need to understand that. This is not something that, this is not like other relationship books. It is truly a unique and easy, and every woman that's read it so far has just been dumbfounded. Their jaws just drop at how it applies to and appeals to women. It speaks to women. Men can read it. People in relationships can read it. But everyone just loves this book.
But in order for the lessons to be effective, they have to be internalized.
That's right.
And interpreted. And would
but
you
that's my specialty.
But would you say, but people are different. I'm going to read that paragraph on self-talk and get something different out of it than my wife might.
Well, I would hope so. And then I would hope you have a discussion about it, you know.
We
and,
might argue, and, though.
Yeah, that's all right. You can you can argue. You can
as
both
long
be
as you
passionate.
Don't fight.
Yeah, you can be passionate about your position on it and certainly grow your own opinions from it. But it's got the roots to help you grow and cause a reaction of thinking of why we do certain things. Not why in a derogatory thing to keep you in the same place, but the why as a discovery. Why do I say this? What's behind the scene? Where am I coming from? What do I mean? What am I saying?
You're listening to Girlfriend on BDigiX.com. Of course, the podcast is available on iTunes. And if you have any questions for Cynthia or John, go to www.twodragons.com or to Cynthia's website, www.cynthiachauvin.com. That's C-H-A-U-V-I-N. Time for us to take a short break. We'll be right back with more of Girlfriend. Arguing versus fighting. What happens when it escalates to the fight? How do we get out of one successfully?
Well, the first thing is to catch that you are now intending to annihilate your partner in order to create a sense of safety, value, or worth for yourself, whether that be on my side or John's side or whoever the two people are, that to recognize that my intent has moved from sharing an opinion very emotionally or openly or fragilely into annihilation. If you can get to the point where you can recognize that you're going over the boundary from an argument to a fight, you can stop. You can stop, take a breather, go take a walk. Is this who I am? Is this what I want to be? Does this service me? The main question I think women need to ask themselves is their behavior servicing who they wish to be in this world? Does running away or leaving or standing behind one of those things of, well, you know, I'm going to leave him because I respect myself. Does the behavior service who you wish to be? Then take a look. Take a look.
Let me back up a little bit, because I think some fights in relationships are not petty. If the fight is based on infidelity, abuse, something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I can still argue. I can understand why there are some really some bad and horrific outcomes of fights when that is what it is. It's not when it's an argument over something petty like a parking space or, you know, leaving the toilet seat up. It escalates into a fight.
But
it does matter. I think it does matter. I
haven't been in a couple of situations. I'm telling you, the fighting does not get rid of the abuse, doesn't get rid of verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse of any kind.
Well, it might lead to the end of a relationship, and that if those are the things that they're fighting about, might be the best way.
Well, you can.
If you're saying
that
you're is the implication that a fight is sometimes a way to exit a bad relationship?
No, I'm saying that a fight could lead to the end of a relationship if it's based on something so horrific. Abuse, you know, my wife beat the hell out of my kid,
right.
You know, hospitalized. I don't want to be with that person anymore, and I want my kids near them.
I agree. I think you can make a decision, though, without the fight.
The thing is about a fight is a fight intensifies and embeds the emotion and the energy in your body. Most people believe that fighting releases negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says in the book that Cynthia so wisely wrote, it intensifies and embeds negative energy.
Right.
And you just carry it on to the next place, waiting for it to inappropriately express itself.
You know,
this is why the fight will be about the same thing from relationship to relationship to relationship.
Understood.
You don't have to cut off your arm to leave a relationship. You don't have to go into fighting to create a stance for yourself, to find your self-worth. It's destructive. It's hard on the individuals. It's very destructive. It's hard on the individual who uses the fight to get rid of the relationship that is not valuable to them or that does not work for them.
Some people, we've met these people before. Some people are addicted to fighting. Some people are addicted to anger. You know, anger is actually an addictive behavior. So there's a point where you cross over into mental illness or mental problems, clearly. But we're talking about in the context of getting and keeping your man, never ever fight. It's about knowing the difference between when you're arguing and then the moment occurs to where the judgment starts to slip in on either side, and then you know you're headed for a fight. And that's when you need to pull the plug, short circuit, and say, I'm going to take a walk. You know, we're both cold in the crazy bucket right now. This is not good.
I haven't had the privilege of being married to somebody who had an alcohol problem. I'm here to tell you that fighting neither solves the alcohol problem, the marriage problem. It actually perpetuates more relationship because you get in there, you keep on thinking, well, I just have to say it one more time and I have to say it louder. I have to say it in this word. I have to flip it this way. If they only see what they're doing, they're going to stop doing.
Just to be clear, this is her first marriage.
So what's that bottle doing in your background?
I just want to throw that in there real quick.
You mentioned, or I asked.
That's true. I'm sorry, baby.
I just don't think of anybody else.
I just don't think of you in that manner, so I would never assume that anybody else would either.
You agreed that sometimes arguing can be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
In some arguments, previous subject matter, something that was bothering me last week, might come out.
Right.
If my wife mentioned something that was bothering her last week because we're arguing about who takes out the trash tonight, I'll say, why didn't you mention it when it happened?
Well, I think also that you can take that moment and say, okay, it's not about the garbage. What's behind here? Why am I not feeling valued? Why am I not feeling respected? And discuss that with your partner. You can discuss something with your partner. You can even argue, well, I'm not feeling respected, but I don't know why I'm not feeling respected. You know, help me. Help me understand. And it can be passionate. And they can say, well, it's not my fault. And you can go, well, yes, it is. No, it's not. And you can come up with bigger conclusions as long as you're not trying to annihilate one another.
Give me the overview now. The chapter, arguing versus fighting. What should a woman understand about having a disagreement with a potential partner?
It's inevitable. Fighting is destructive without construction. It leads to the end of your own self-respect. It's bad for your health. It's bad for your image of who you want to be. It's bad for your connection to your own divinity because it's annihilation. And who you're annihilating yourself first, and then you're annihilating the other individual. So
It's also an expression of emotion and opinion. So wouldn't you agree that that is a healthy thing for people in a relationship to have? It's a conversation sometimes.
It's appropriate to shoot a gun at a target range. It's not appropriate to shoot a gun at a mall. The point being is that we should be aware of where we're expressing what's behind the scene, what's really driving things. Because after a long day of fighting through traffic and working really hard and having to deal with a bunch of problem people at work, and then you come home and the wife says, take out the garbage, and you've taken it out. You know, it could just be really, it's really not about the garbage.
Right.
You know,
I
know that. I've come home after a long, long day, and it's something.
Right.
And then all that a day's emotions come flying out through that hole, and it's not the appropriate place for that to come out.
I recently had a friend of mine tell me, you know, I went over something with her. I said, what would you know? She's gay, and she's been in a relationship with her partner for some 15 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious. I said, how do you handle petty stuff, and you know, like somebody coming in and putting their clothes on the floor? She says, well, she's my beloved. She is my beloved. I try to remember to pick it up. Sometimes I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just a perfect statement, that if we treat each other as that is my beloved, we would handle things respectfully. of course, the first beloved being me.
Self-respect.
And this is my beloved.
No, it's true. One quick point before we're just about out of time. You mentioned the three things, safety,
value, and authority.
Do women realize that men need that as well?
No.
Should they?
And that's another problem, because you can't see what you don't see that you need yourself.
Say so that slower and say it three times.
You can't see what you don't see in yourself. So they annihilate men by their lack of awareness that they need their own safety, value, and authority, because they can't possibly imagine that you need the same, because they're projecting their safety, value, and authority onto the man, assuming he's got it. And when he don't give it, it's because he's withholding it.
And if they do realize that men have those same needs, then they'll have a successful relationship.
Sameness. They create sameness. They could create sameness between one another and see the commonalities. And boy, that's fertilizer. That grows. That grows a good relationship.
The book is called 10 Ways to Get and Keep Your Man. This show is Girlfriend. That is Cynthia Chavan. She is a relationship expert, and you've just heard why. To find out more about Cynthia and John, their books, their products, their fortune cookies, go to www.cynthiachavan.com or twodragons.com. Podcast of this show available on iTunes. Thank you both for joining us here on BDigiX.com, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you.